Representative Scott.
Thank you very much for co-chairing.
That's funny.
For the record, Bruce Stark, Representative House District 3, Western Washington County, here today in support of House Bill 2052. Actually, what we did is we found a bill that had passed the House that was in Senate revenue that was no longer needed. It was a dead bill and had the right related clause, and we moved it to Senate rules where we did a little gut and stuff to take care of a problem that has come about in a school district that's in my legislative district. I'll briefly talk a little bit about what's taking place in the school district in Western Washington County. It's the Banks School District. About a year ago, we had a new superintendent come in there after a retirement of a previous superintendent. And as she started going to work, she found some problems, financial problems, and she kept digging and kept uncovering more and more problems. Finally, realized that this was a pretty large problem, and they hired an outside audit firm to come in and audit their books. And then in doing that, they found that actually at the end of the 1997-98 school year, that they'd ended the year with a $900,000 negative ending balance. This last school year, the superintendent, I think prudently and with the community on board and knowing and communicating well with the community, she trimmed their budget by 11%, about $700,000 that she cut out of the budget in this last school year, trying to rectify what has turned out to be a pretty significant problem. I'll just quickly list some of the things that they did this last school year to help rectify the problem. They had a 25% reduction in administrative staff. They reduced teaching staff by 7%. They renegotiated employee contracts. They eliminated foreign language programs at the elementary and junior high school. They reduced programs and economic assistance for students not meeting academic benchmarks. They reduced the alternative school placement for at-risk students. They eliminated junior high sports. They increased high school pay-to-play activities. They increased student lunch prices. They eliminated field trips. They reduced custodial hours, and they reduced out-of-district travel. Previously, it's a small school district in rural Washington County, one of our poorer school districts. Previous years, some of the things that they've done is eliminated librarians, they contracted food service, they contracted custodial service, and they contracted their transportation services. So we're talking about a school district that was pretty bare bones to begin with. And then we had a superintendent that unfortunately didn't, in my opinion, shoot straight with the school board. And we've had these problems that have since taken place. I would also like to, the new superintendent is Marilyn McGlaughlin. She's done an outstanding job coming in and trying to rectify the situation that has taken place there. Has had good conversation with the community members, and I believe has the support of the community and the community members there, and is working very well with the school board. That brings me to the amendments the amended Aim Growth House Bill 2052. What we propose to do in this amendment, and I would add that this has the support of basically all the education community. John Marshall here from School Board Association is trying to support the department supports that we're doing here. TOSA is on board as well. Basically, what we've outlined is a program where we will identify like financially troubled school districts. And if you look, if you have a copy of the bill in Section 1, and it describes in Section 1, subparagraph 1, A, B, and C, the criteria that they would have to meet in order to be classified as a financially troubled school district. It's our understanding, and hopefully Mr. Marshall will agree, that definition would apply to only one school district in the state. Finally, Section 1, Subsection 2, they would appeal to the Department of Education. There would be a working group set up that would review the situation. They could request a loan. This bill allocates $700,000 in that loan. An interest-free loan would be paid back over 4 years. Basically, the payback would be subtracted from the checks for the money that the school receives from the Department of Education. I think it's a prudent response. It's not a grant. We're not giving away free money. We're not bailing out a school district in the way that we're just giving them money without strings attached. I think there's accountability measures that we've included in this process. I think that are prudent. In fact, the working group could recommend changes, or actually order changes, through the State Department of Education to find out the policies in the school district. So if they find problems there, they can order changes there. I understand we may be setting a precedent with this bill, but I think that at this point, I think it's a prudent one in response to a situation that, I'm afraid, if we didn't take this action, would further damage the educational opportunities of the students in the Banks School District, or a relatively rural area of Western Washington County. At this point, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, or we'd let Mr. Marshall testify and perhaps we could answer it. You may know more of the history of other school districts around the state.
Marshall?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good morning. John Marshall, representing the Oregon School Boards Association. Representative Starr has done an excellent job of laying out the situation in Banks. In my experience, I know of no other situation where a school district has found itself in this kind of financial exigency. While many school districts are operating with tight budgets, as many of you, I'm certain, have heard, this is a situation where I believe for some very serious financial missteps, the school district has found itself in a very unusual and unique circumstance. The good news is the new superintendent undertook in the most open and honest way that I'm aware of to involve the community, parents, staff, everybody involved, immediately sought outside assistance through the hiring of an independent financial consultant to come in and get a handle on the problem. Thanks to a good audit, the financial problems were shown. Everything in the community that has been done, that could have been done, has been done, and I think this bill will help get these folks out of a very, very serious and unique problem. With that, I would join with Representative Stern to please answer any questions.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if this question should be for you or whether it should be the staff, but the repayment of the loan, does that come back to the general fund, or what happens to the money if it's returned?
Chairman and Representative Winters, there are -1 amendments, which we couldn't really get into this until we did a work session, but they would clarify that the amounts withheld from the state schools fund on behalf of the school district would then be transferred back to the general fund. So
is there anybody from the school district here?
Actually, the superintendent is out on vacation out of town, but we do have a administrator from one of the schools that I'm happy to come and answer questions.
Sure. Please.
My name is Ted Farrell. I'm an administrator of the Banks School District. I've been in the district for 30 years.
Mr. Farrell?
Yes.
Farrell. Mr. Farrell, had your prior financial audits indicated before the new superintendent came in terms of the district's debts?
Chair Minister and Representative Leonard, I believe the issue at hand is the previous superintendent working in an arena where building administrators and school board members in the community were not well aware of the dollars were allocated to various projects and things. And I suppose that through the office of the district, the only persons that were aware of the problems that we were encountering were the superintendent and the district deputy clerk. And I believe that the problems have been documented in material that was presented by Representative Starr.
Well, my question is, you're required by statute to have a financial audit at least every 3 years. What have those financial audits indicated?
Okay. And term minutes, and Representative Leonard, you were talking to a person as a building principal, not a district office personnel. But I can assure you that up until last spring, we were not aware that there were difficulties at all, and no other staff members were. I have no answer to that question.
Okay. They might have some other questions.
Madam Chair, Representative Leonard, my name is Al Shannon. I'm an employee with the Oregon School Boards Association. I was one of the ones that did look at the financial situation of banks into this situation. In the audit ending June 30, 1997, they ended the year with a positive fund balance. It wasn't a lot. It was about $42,238.
How much?
$42,238.
$630.97.
That's correct. In their adopted budget for 97-98, they had overstated their revenues by about $1.2 million. In other words, they had one of the overstatement was a budget item called unforeseen resources for $350,000. And they had really, I don't think, any idea of where that money was coming from. It was in the adopted budget, but it was there. The other problem they had is that in the state school fund for 97-98, they had budgeted $3,795,251, and that was their allocation for 97-98. However, in the last legislative session, the legislature allowed an advance that they could take in 97 of the 98 allocation. There was a special provision. They took the advance in 97, and then they budgeted the full amount for 97-98. In other words, they didn't take into consideration that they got an advance on the next year's state school fund.
When was the latest financial audit?
The latest financial audit was June 30th, 98.
What did the June 30th, 98 audit indicate?
A negative fund balance of $906,000.
So in June of 98, which was a year ago, but was that under the new superintendent that occurred?
No.
That was under the prior superintendent?
Chairman, Representative Leonard, that was under the prior administration.
That audit showed that there was a $906,000 deficit.
That's correct.
And that was attributed to those calculations that you just talked about?
Chairman, Representative Leonard, that was due to the over-budgeting of the revenue. They had also borrowed $500,000 from their capital projects fund, which was from the sale of bond proceeds, and that is one of the liabilities that the district has to repay that capital projects fund back.
And subsequent to the June 98 audit, there was another audit. Is that correct?
It would have been every district is required, Chairman, Representative Leonard, every district is required to have an annual financial audit with the fiscal year ending June 30th. So there has been an audit every fiscal year since inception of the district.
Okay, maybe I'm reading the timeline wrong here. But is the audit report referred to here in this chronology of events, the 6/30/98 audit, or is that an additional audit? I thought I understood that when the new superintendent came on, she asked for a new audit.
Chairman, Representative Leonard, it wasn't an audit in that sense of the word. When I refer to an audit, it's required by statute,
right,
and by a municipal auditor. The financial consultant that they hired was Mr. Frank Hodapp, and he was a retired business manager from Tiger 12.
But is this the new audit that was conducted after the new superintendent was hired?
That's correct.
What did that audit show the deficit was?
It concurred of the $906,000.
So it's
purple.
The other question I have is there some precedent for an interest-free loan?
Chairman, Representative Leonard, not to my knowledge.
And what's the rationale behind an interest-free loan?
Chairman, Representative Leonard, I think that the district certainly is in a problem with its cash needs, and we believe it's incumbent or in good policy to make sure that the children of that district don't suffer and that the programs can go on without as much disruption as possible.
And I hope I'm not belaboring myself. But is there a budget committee within the school board?
Yeah, Chairman, Representative Leonard, yes. Every local school has to have a budget committee, which is comprised of the New Columbus board members.
And so when the budget was prepared and presented to the budget committee, they didn't uncover that there was, well, if on, okay, if on June 30th of 98, the auditor said there was a $906,000 shortfall, was that information not available to the budget committee prior to that fiscal year beginning?
Chairman, Representative Leonard, that's correct. The budget committee would finish the budget in the spring of 97 for the 97-98 year, and they wouldn't have knowledge of that at that time. And then subsequent for this year, the audit wasn't finished until probably December of 98. It takes several months from the close of the fiscal year to get the audit back. And so the budget committee first saw the problem in the spring of 99.
And does the district have financial audit, financial analysts that are part of the administration?
Chairman, Representative Leonard, the district has recently hired a CPA to replace the retiring deputy clerk who has just retired this spring, and I believe he started work July 1.
So that in the future, as the budget's prepared, that person would be consulted in the formation of the budget in terms of the revenue available and the expenses.
Chairman, Representative Leonard, I think everyone in the community is well aware of their situation, and certainly from the superintendent to the school board, I believe that they have a good grasp on the problem, and this will cease to continue, or at least they're on a debt restructuring plan to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other comments? Representative Ross.
Just to summarize here, the bottom line is you have this work group, and then the State Board of Education actually has the authority to order certain actions based on the recommendation of the work group if they don't feel that their local board, the local administrators are acting responsibly to keep the school's expenditures within the net amount they will have to spend under the repayment of the loan. Is that right?
That's my understanding.
Section 5 on page 2. Or the sub 5 on page 2. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amendment. Please adopt the amendment to that one amendment and encourage to move it to the recorder. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
I think that will happen as soon as you get a sign.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's put the screen
on. Let's open the public hearing on House Bill 2663.
That should be more. Mr. Wright, would you like to come forward?
Good morning. My name is David Wright, Director of Technology for the Department of Education. Pleased to be here this morning in support of 2663. Mm-hmm. The department is requesting this amendment for the Database Initiative Project. The Database Initiative Project, without spending a lot of time recapping it, has been one of the most successful data processing projects in Oregon state history. The project was delivered on time and under budget. It has received awards, a national accounting award for best practices. We are requesting, at this point, this amendment because the department believes it is essential in order for us to deliver Database Initiative Project Phase 2 for next biennium in a timely fashion and achieve the same on time, on budget, under budget record. The schedule for the Database Initiative Project, if I could just recap that briefly to create that perspective for you, we have been charged to deliver a database that contains financial and non-financial data for school districts, all 200, all 199 school districts, for the next biennium. So that means that the department has to have that database created and ready to accept data a year from now, in August of 2000, so we can load the data in September, October, November, and have it ready for the legislature in 2001. In order to meet that compressed time frame, we are proposing this amendment so that we can speed up the procurement process and avoid the lengthy delays that are associated with that, since we only have 12 months, essentially, to build the database and then 4 months to populate it in a timely fashion. With that, I'd like to accept questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much. You want to go over, you know, I think we're kind of signing this one. I think we're going into a work session. So, let's just stand at ease, don't go very far.
As far as not too far.
If you go, then this would exempt the Department of Education from the requirement that they go through competitive bidding on a particular project after statewide implementation of school database project. The amendment is very specific. And it's catch. And
Discussion.
No vote.
Madam Chair, move House Bill 2663 as amended to the full ways and means with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Chair, I would move, we have the Dash 1 amendment. Madam Chair, I'd move House Bill 2052 as amended to the full ways and means of the due pass.
Discussion? Objection? Motion carries? Or recommended by?
What do you think that was doing?
Hey, you were good, buddy. You were awesome.
Awesome.